0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Joe at RT.ie. Let's go to Martin, then Pat, then Anne. Martin is in Belmullet. Patrick is somewhere in Dublin because he's complaining about a pub in Dublin. And Anne is in Limerick. Martin, you go first in Belmullet.
Hello, Joseph. I'm not in Belmullet. I'm in Dublin.
Okay.
Only round the corner from you, actually.
Have you ever been in Belmullet?
Do you know, I haven't. It's on my bucket list.
Well, my screen says Martin Brangan, Belmullet.
Belmullet. Well, there you are. No, I'm not. I'm only down the road from you there.
But is where you're from, does it sound like Belmullet?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
I'm from Milltown.
Down the road. Okay, Martin, you're in M&S. You're in the Drum Basilica yesterday, the shopping centre.
That's a long way. That would be a long way from.
And you were in M&S. You're a librarian, so you're very astute, very observant. And what did you observe, Martin?
Well, I was going through by the, you know, through the barn doors, as I call them, into the where the wine is.
Okay.
And the first thing that confronted me was a display with loads of bottles of gin. And in the middle of the display were cards saying, thank you, teachers, a selection of six cards.
Okay.
So this was to suggest to parents, I presume, to buy bottles of gin to give to their children to present along with the cards to the teacher at the end of the year. So I thought something was a bit off about it. And,
okay.
I didn't say anything to the management at the time because I was in kind of in a hurry through, and I just kind of thought about. I took a photo as I was passing and asked one or two friends, "What do you think of that?" And they said, "Oh, that's a bit off." So I said, I'll send this into Liveline because I know it's something the type of thing that you have covered, you know, especially when we're very conscious about keeping alcohol away from the consciousness of children as much as possible.
As best you can. So you've sent in a photograph. We're going to tweet that photograph now. But it's quite clear.
Sure.
It's actually quite a nice display symmetrically.
It's lovely. It's
and there's three levels and there's the old wooden crates more. Yeah, you know, to give that rustic feel. And then there's is it just a one gin they're advertising or is there so
I
many
think
gins?
There are several gins.
Well, there's
not
so many.
Much into
there's about
gins,
700 gins now, anyway.
There are.
And then slap bang in the middle is this big, again, it's not a few cards just thrown there, is it? It's a display case containing cards saying thank you teacher or I love my teacher or and is there any sign to, obviously there's an inference there, Martin, which you're
well there's a great inference that's okay. What got me immediately, because this inference is buy this for teacher, and I'm sure teacher would love that, and I'm sure teacher would end up legless if they got everyone got the same bottle of gin. Could be kind of like a car crash.
But some teachers I've spoken to could do with a bottle of gin at the end of a day after being mitered and run ragged. But anyway, okay, you're saying but people do give bottles of wine to teacher, don't they, at the end of the year?
Yeah. I suppose they do. I haven't, like, it's a long time since I've been in school. I'm 62. But I certainly, we didn't, I don't think we gave anything to teacher in our day. But teacher without,
probably didn't
without
have anything
to give.
But Anne, that was a phenomenon. Martin, stay there in Belmullet. Near where we are for the time being. Pat Doherty, Pat. 51551 0818 715 815. And don't be ringing us in now about the price of the pint in St. Anne's Park last night for the 1975, one of my favourite bands at the moment, but I couldn't go because I was launching a book. I'll tell you about that in a few minutes, hopefully. But people are ringing in about the price of the pint in St. Anne's Park. It was, I think, €8 after a long queue for a pint of Heino, in a plastic glass. Pat Doherty, you were in what pub?
Well, how are you doing, Joseph? Good. First of all, I probably wish I wasn't Belmullet, but at this juncture, I'm in Dartry. I'm actually I'm a Californian, but I'm in Dartry, sprucing up a house here.
But explain to people in Ireland where Dartry is.
Oh, it's Dublin 4, Dublin 6, darling, Dublin 6.
Yeah, it's kind of...
But it's very euphoterical anyway.
And it's euphoterical. And it's, but it's in the shadow of Milltown, is it? Or the shadow of Rathgar?
It would be south-facing, I'd say, Joseph, yes.
Okay, and Dartry is famous for, when we were growing up, the Dartry Laundry. Now, Pat.
Well, that would be one of the landmarks, I presume.
One of the laundries in Dublin I was growing up was the Dartry Laundry, the Swastika Laundry, and there was another one.
I thought they would have been above all that here, Joe. Anyway, getting back to the subject matter at hand.
Yes.
I went to a certain hostelry the weekend on Sunday, made a few friends. Cut long story short, I nearly had a cardiac arrest when I seen the price of the roast of the day.
Okay.
And I don't know whether they paid the chefs and everybody else treble time on a Sunday, but that's not really my problem. But apparently during the week, not apparently, specifically during the week, the same roast is 17 yo-yos. Okay. All of a sudden it goes to 24 on a weekend.
Wow. And would you want to name the pub? We live in a free country.
No, perish the thought, Joe. Searson's in Ballsbridge.
Okay, well-known pub, historic pub. It's where Patrick Kavanagh, he lived down the road. Patrick Kavanagh, when he got his mail of a morning, he'd walk down to Searson's, position himself at the end of the bar, order a ball of malt and probably a pint of Guinness, but a ball of malt, and he'd open his mail. It was his office. And it was many an office for many of the bohemian artists in Dublin. Anyway, you're in Searson, the famous pub. You're saying 17 quid for the road, for the Carvery Monday to Friday.
Yes.
And it zooms up to 24.
Zooms up to 24, and like I say, Dick Turpin wore a mask when he was a highwayman once upon a time, Joe.
Well, maybe they do have extra costs at the weekend, or do you get? Let's be full disclosure here, Pat. Now you have to come clean. Do you get an extra Yorkshire pud?
There's a few bells and whistles, Joe, like Yorkshire pud. But I go to a certain, like most people go to different hostelries, and look, whether it's Yorkshire pud or whatever, it's the same price, Joe. It doesn't jump from 70 to 24. I mean, I think it's outrageous, right? 24 euros for a roast of the day with a few extra bells and whistles.
Yeah, but now you're telling me you do get extra.
Well, the gentleman that I questioned, he said to me, oh, there's an extra, you get a bit of extra roast the weekend and a bit of this, a bit of garlic. I said, is this guy for real? I said, for God's sake, you get extras.
Okay. It's a great reputation. But anyway, to stay there. But by the way, what was the food like? And now you're about. You see, I got that out. You're about to. It's absolutely gorgeous.
No, it was massive. It was gorgeous. But I nearly had a cardiac arrest when I got the receipt.
Okay.
Joe, can I ask a question?
Oh, Martin, of course you can.
I know you like an old coddle. Do they do coddle in Searson's?
No, you won't get a coddle anywhere in Dublin anyway. Oh, the only place you get a coddle is the Gravediggers out in Kavanagh's. Kieran Kavanagh make a coddle.
Donald Skeen was doing it last night on the telly.
Then the whole country be obsessed. Come here, there with us, Martine. A coddle in the middle of the summer. That's not one. I thought Donald did the one pot winter warmers. Not what they do every Saturday in the Irish Times. Your one pot winter warmer. Anne in Limerick, Anne, come in. Are you in Limerick?
No.
Okay, you're in where their line is in space. And I need you now more than you need me at this stage. Is that your best phone line?
Unfortunately, it is in rural Ireland.
We're going to try and leave and have a chat with you there now. I'll come back to you in a sec because I want you to come in and sit beside Pat and Martine. Pat, did you rave when you raised the issue of the jump in the price of a Carvery from 70 and it goes up at the weekend by 7 euro, which is nearly 50%, well, 40% in the school I went to? Did you get it? I know you said the explanation was you got an extra bit of stuffing.
Well, look, an extra bit, the extra bit of this, an extra bit of that, wouldn't equate to €7, Joe. But like foolishly, I presumed the Carvery. I ordered the Carvery and a pint of Guinness. I just presumed then when I was paying for it that it was a normal 17, 18 quid going up to 19 in some places.
By the way,
You should never assume anything, Joe. So, like I said, when I got the receipt for over 30 quid with the price, I said to the girl, what's the 24 for? She says, that's for the Carvery, the roast of the day. Yes, correct. And she said to me, the lounge girl, God love her, she said, oh, it's 17 during the week, it goes up the weekends. I said, I couldn't believe this.
Okay, I better
talk to Uncle Joe about this.
How much is a pint in Searson's?
It was in around 6.40, Joe, 6.50.
Wow, for a pint of Guinness. Well,
yeah, but is that anywhere? But, like, you could go to the Grand Hotel in Malahide. You wouldn't pay €24 for a roast of the day, Joe.
Okay, but so you feel you got roasted?
I definitely got roasted, Joe, and I'm still feeling a bit burnt, actually.
Okay. We're trying to get through to Anne, but basically, Martin and Pat, I'd ask you why we're trying to get a better line or string a line from here to Limerick. Martin, Anne is ringing us because she claims, with a lot of evidence, forensic evidence, that she ordered a breakfast. And you know, in Irish breakfast now, you can get pancakes. And she got a stack of pancakes. Mm-hmm. And the menu said maple syrup. Okay?
Oh, I love maple syrup.
But exactly. And it's very expensive. Isn't that correct? Very expensive.
Yeah.
Comes all the way from Canada, whatever. And her theory is, and again, forensics have backed her up, that she didn't get maple syrup for the price she paid for it. She got golden syrup.
Yeah, that's what they do in America all the time. In Canada, you'll get the real maple syrup. In America, United States, I always found that you tend to get the golden syrup. They're kind of cheapskates there.
Well, for example, in Tesco at the minute, they're on everywhere because of these price drops.
Yeah.
In Tesco at the minute, if you wanted to buy 660 grams of maple syrup, right, it will cost you over €15. That's maple syrup. Okay?
Yeah.
If you want to buy 660 grams of golden syrup, how much do you think it will cost, Martine?
Oh, I suppose a third of that it should do because it's sugar.
Higher,
it's all sugar.
Higher.
Well, is it being sold as golden or as maple?
It's been sold. You're a real librarian. It's sold as golden. No, it's not on. It's on the menu as maple, but they're giving out golden. It's golden gated.
There's a big difference.
Maple syrup is 10 times the price of golden syrup.
Yeah, beautiful stuff. It's from the tree sap.
But you think you're getting maple syrup on the menu, and you're not. You're getting something that's one tenth the value. Stay there, Martin. Where is Aileen? No. Aileen.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, will you say hello to Martine there in Belmullet? She's
Hi, Martine.
That's Aileen.
Hi. Aileen. Well, lovely here. By the way, Joe, I was in Vermont about 4 years ago, and I watched the maple syrup coming out being collected, and it's wonderful.
And how do they collect it?
And that's in the States.
How do they collect it?
It drips out of the trees.
Oh, like rubber. It's like they do a channel.
Yeah.
And then there's a receptacle at the bottom that collects the maple.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, gorgeous.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Beautiful. Okay. But you're not here to try and settle the maple syrup debate. You're here about teachers getting bottles of gin.
Do you know what, Joe? I had just pulled in. I was listening to it on the way down. I was coming back from the meeting. And I just said, oh, my God, are we all becoming woke? Like, I just think it's... It's a marketing thing. I don't see anything wrong with it at all. Gin is really trendy these days. And God love the teachers after the end of the year now. I think they deserve a bottle. And it's the mothers who go shopping for us anyway.
Yeah, of course. So
the mothers that are targeted.
Do you think Martine is...
And fathers.
Yes, exactly. Is Martine overreacting or she's... But you say she's been woke.
Listen, it's bad enough when young ones are woke. But God, 62 and woke. I think it's woke, and I think there's so many things that are more important.
Okay.
I think it's great.
Now, in fairness, Aileen, to Martine, M&S have been onto us like Flint. It's gone.
Really?
They've removed it. They've removed the teachers' cards.
Well, they say, oh, for God's sake. Because
Marks and Spencer are terrific. They are. Marks and Spencer always.
Now, the only thing I hope.
That's what surprised me.
Well, Wokes and Spencers, as we're now calling them, the thing I want to say to Wokes, Marks and Spencers, if that was an initiative by one of the local, because Marks and Spencer staff are brilliant, and hello to Annette up in Liffey Valley, used to look after my mother so well, Annette King, and in M&S in Liffey Valley, their staff are brilliant. I just hope now, if it was just an initiative by someone with a bit of vim, I just hope they won't get into trouble. It's gone. It's over. Now, by the way, Aileen, while I have you there,
yes,
your husband is a caretaker.
Yeah, he is.
Is he included on the present list?
Well, he's never had a bottle of gin, or at least he's never brought one home. But he does see the teachers getting boxes of chocolates and bags.
He's never brought home a bottle of gin outside his body, but you reckon the caretakers don't get a look in, do they not?
No, he gets very well treated, but like he knows, you know, at the end of term the teachers do get presents, and you know, I'm sure they're grateful for them.
But the caretaker,
and if there's something he sees the bottles and the bags and the boxes of chocolates coming in, and that's fine.
Okay, where is it? Anne is back now. Stay with us, Martine.
Yes.
Anne, good afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Now, my issue is with my premises in Limerick, but I actually live on near enough to Newport in County Tipperary.
Okay.
But last week, I was in my GP's for passing bloods. So I needed to have a breakfast rather quickly, and I went into an establishment in Limerick City.
Okay.
And ordered French toast.
Yes, oh lovely.
Crispy bacon. And
crispy
maple
bacon.
Syrup.
Your line is still good. And maple syrup.
Yes, and that's what was on the menu.
Well said,
so
okay. What happened?
It arrived.
Yes.
And for the fourth time, twice in Dublin, and this is the second time, I was served golden syrup.
Okay. Anna, silly,
so I decided to speak.
Okay.
Very polite, very courteous. Listen for that.
Okay. Now we'll have to get those details off you off air, Anne, because the listeners will be peeling away because we can't hear you. Not your fault, by the way. But I'll get you. I want to find out what happened when you said it to them. This is not maple syrup. This is golden syrup, which costs one tenth per serving as maple syrup. Where's Oscar Mooney? Oscar.
Hey, how's it going, Joe?
You were listening to Pat earlier on giving out about the price of the carvery. Not the price of the carvery, but the price difference in the carvery between a Friday and a Saturday, basically. Goes from 17 to 24.
Well, not so much that, but I worked in the service industry for a while, and if you're working on the weekends, you miss out on doing things with your mates, you miss out on doing all those activities.
Of course, yeah.
And maybe it shouldn't always be about this, you know, this 40% increase, but maybe workers should get paid more for working on the weekends. You know, they're taking a lot of time out of their lives to actually come and serve people. And I don't know if that's where the money insertions actually goes, but I think we should possibly have that. The people who work the weekends should get paid that little bit extra more. And I'm not saying 40%,
but Oscar,
it should be consideration.
But do service industry people who work, who are rostered on the weekend, do they get paid extra? They do on bank holidays, I presume.
They do on bank holidays, but they don't otherwise. And it's not enough anyway. Okay. We've got a cost of living in this crisis, a cost of living crisis at the moment. And I think we have to take that into serious consideration.
So, Pat Doherty is back there. Pat was the roast of the day in Searsons when he was in E.T. Fields. Pat, did they make that point? We have to pay higher wages at the weekend.
No, Joe, look, I'm sick of saying I'm not the better of it yet, but look, at the end of what that gentleman just says, I don't buy that, because we go to certain hostelries around the place, usually on a weekend, and they don't put, there's no way it jumps up from that price, so I don't buy it. Anybody with half a brain can read between the lines what this is. Ireland is the second part of it.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying we need to bring this into consideration of these conversations. We've got workers there serving us, and they don't get paid nearly enough. And yeah, the money's probably not going to them, but I'm saying it probably should. Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Well, we can find out. Searson's is owned by the legendary Charlie Chalk, who has been on this programme on numerous times. He mightn't be around today, but hopefully we'll come on. But Oscar, you're saying the argument could possibly be the weekend rates, but you're saying, well, the bar workers and hospitality staff will tell us, do you get paid more at the weekend?
No, you don't.
Yeah,
you don't. You generally don't.
Bank holidays, you do.
Yeah, on bank holidays, you do. Sometimes you get twice the rate, and then people are looking to actually get rostered on those days.
Okay.
But on the general weekend, no, you don't.
Okay.
So where's the profit margin going to?
Pardon me?
Who's making gain from this? Obviously, somebody's making a gain.
Well, it's probably the owner, and they probably got to keep up with interest at the moment as well.
It's very obvious who's making it. If the staff are being paid a pittance, obviously it's the higher ups, yeah?
Yeah, but we don't. Yeah. I presume the staff are being paid the rate. And by the way, I saw a painting recently of one of the staff in Searson's. Beautiful painting. And they're obviously highly regarded by their customers. Now, by the way, what Anne wanted to add, but she couldn't because the line was covered in maple syrup or golden syrup or whatever. She was charged €12.25 for tea and French toast with streaky bacon. It was advertised as coming with maple syrup. She suspected when she got it was golden syrup, which, as we've discovered today, is one-tenth the price of maple syrup. She said it in a very kind way, and the staff member was even kinder, and said, do you think this is maple syrup? And the waitress says, well, I'll go in and check. What do you think it is? And she said, I think it's golden syrup, a completely different product, but of similar depiction, or looks the same, as the fellow said. And indeed, the waitress came back and said, you are correct. It is golden syrup, not maple syrup as advertised. And golden syrup is, well, I'm now going, surmising, the golden, not surmising, but they use golden syrup because it's cheaper than maple syrup. They didn't say we were using golden syrup because we've run out of maple syrup. Anne's argument that this is false, disappointing advertising. If you ordered lamb stew and they came down with a burger, you would complain. That's the same in this instance. Golden syrup, I didn't know this, is a derivative of sugar. It is a cheap byproduct of the process. Maple syrup, as was pointed out to us earlier by Aileen Eglinton, who was in Vermont, maple syrup is a pure substance, labour-intensive harvesting, that comes from a maple tree and is therefore more expensive. She thinks and agrees that restaurants do need to cut costs in the world we live in, but this is not the way to do it. Okay, Martine Brangan. Martine, when did you retire being a librarian, so to speak?
In 2017, I had to take early retirement because of health issues. So,
oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But
and how are you doing on the health issue?
Well, I have developed MS, so it's a bit tricky. Yeah, it's a bit tricky. But and indeed, that's another thing. Someday I will be contacting you about the difficulty in actually getting onto a neurology list here in this country. I have got one, but it's very, very tricky.
And the public,
so that's a separate issue.
I know, yeah. And the public neurology list.
A public neurology list is almost impossible.
Oh,
the private, I've got onto Orla Hardiman's list, so that's excellent.
Yeah.
But it's another thing. It's one of the great shortages in this country. It's another issue, though, for another day, I suppose.
I won't pursue this, but Martine, how does MS show itself to you in your daily life?
Well, for the last year, I have felt as if my feet were, well, it started being numb, just purely kind of numb around the toes. And I didn't think that much of it. and I was a bit reluctant to go downstairs. I could go up steps, but not down steps so well. So I was avoiding it. But then I started getting what I would call marshmallow feet. That's my best description. In other words, as if there were marshmallows instead of shoes on the feet. And I started developing, I got a bad fall and knocked myself out at home. I ended up in a private hospital that couldn't really treat me. So I was sent back to my GP to be referred to a place that could deal with me. So, but I'm getting on with it now. Mobility is tricky, but I'm getting on with it.
Okay. And Martina, where were you, a librarian in Dublin or?
Dublin City Library.
Oh, brilliant. Great service. Yeah. Where were you based or were you moved around?
We were moved around. I've been in nearly every single library, including the mobile libraries, headquarters. And then Dolphin's Barn, I ended up for the last number of years, which is an excellent community there.
Yeah,
really
near the fire station there, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we got to know them very well. And did
you love your job?
It was wonderful, yeah, because you got a huge amount of variety. And indeed, I remember when your book came out, did a big book display.
Good luck.
with your book and with the Children of the Rising. So that went down well.
And are you still a book reader, Martine?
Oh, I learn. I'm a learner. I get books on learning everything.
Brilliant.
You know, I really learn new stuff every day.
And what are you learning? Is it just general curiosity or do you say a language?
General. I was fascinated by the polyglots.
Yesterday, Benny, yeah.
Now,
Benny the polyglot.
Yeah, I haven't dedicated myself to any language. I mean, I did French at school. I was forced to do German at school instead of art, and that didn't go down well because I'm into art, like yourself. And so I'm really into learning a lot about computer coding at the moment. That's my big interest.
Magic.
And I'm always follow aviation because I used to be a private pilot at one stage. So I always follow that. And the odd time I'll go down to Western Aerodrome and with an instructor hire an aircraft and go for a little spin around.
And have you done that lately? Can you do that lately?
No, not lately. I'll see how things go and I might go back.
So you're a high-flying librarian in your day?
Yeah. Okay. And I travel. I love travel. I've been to Antarctica, all the seven continents.
Seven continents?
Yeah. So
you're a high-flying, globe-trotting librarian?
Yeah.
Who speaks volumes? Now that's Martine. Stay as well as you can, and I hope whatever treatment is available, you get the full, not just the full use of it, but the full effect of it. Yeah. Oh, Martine, mention, why do you mention books? Last night I launched a book in Dublin by a wonderful woman, Peg McManus, great campaigner like yourself. As she said last night, she's 84 years of age, been campaigning all her life, born 1939 at the outbreak in Dublin, the Second World War. It's called I Will Be Good. And wonderful. I'll tell you something, if you read it, you'll be all the better for it. It's a fantastic book. I Will Be Good by Peg McManus. Martine, Guramila Mahogat, and also to Pat Doherty, Oscar Mooney, Aileen Eglinton, Joe at rte.ie, 51551 is the text number.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And at the end of the month, June the 30th, we're in the Titanic Hotel in Belfast with Funny Friday. And as Philip Nolan of the Mail said yesterday in one of his tweets, at least Funny Friday will have a chance of going down well in the Titanic. So we're in the Titanic and we have our list of performers, among whom is the great Al Foran, as you know. And Al, by the way, there's a massive charity event starting tomorrow, and it's starting, it's called Rise of the Beast. It's a road trip. You know this, it's a convoy of the most incredible cars you've ever seen. But the brilliant thing, it's all in aid of Little Blue Heroes. And Little Blue Heroes are basically Gardaí helping seriously ill children. It starts tomorrow morning, Friday. It starts in Kinnegad, or Kinnegrad as it used to be called. It starts in, starts tomorrow morning in Barbastown Castle, Kinnegad next, Cousin in Athlone, MacWilliam Hotel, the Quay in Westport, okay? And then it moves on across the country, and then it goes on Saturday, and then on Sunday it starts in Cork again. That's where it'll be, Clonakilty, Roscarbery, and finishes in the Mahon Shopping Centre. And Al Foran will be performing. It's a charity event, as per usual. I don't think he ever gets paid for that, and he does. It's a charity event. Al will be performing along the way, but it'll be a magnificent convoy. If you can, watch out for them, starting between Kildare and then going to different parts of the country. On Saturday, they'll start off in Westport, Galway, Bunratty, into the Mallow, into Mallow, and then into Cork. So in Middleton and Cork. So it's a great day and a great occasion. Okay, Joan Lewis Wright. Joan, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. That you lived in Canada, the harvesting of maple syrup.
I did. I was listening to your conversation and I was intrigued. And I just wanted to enlighten your customers that it's a very expensive product because it's an all-natural product. And in the spring, they take the mature maple tree.
Okay.
They put a metal spike into it and attach plastic tubing. Then they feed the sap. The sap is what comes out of the tree, not the syrup.
Okay.
The sap then is put into a huge, big, and they do it very traditionally. They have what they call sugar shack, and they boil the sap. And after they boil 40 gallons of sap, they get 1 gallon of syrup.
Wow.
So that's where the cost comes in.
40 gallons of sap yields one gallon of maple of syrup.
Yeah. Yeah, so it takes a lot of time. It's, you know, labor intensive, and it's done very naturally still, which is terrific.
That's why it is so distinctively tasty.
And that's why it's so pure.
Yeah.
It's a pure product.
Now, Joan, would you spot the difference between maple syrup and golden syrup?
Yeah, totally. Okay. Maple syrup doesn't have that tackiness, that, you know, that stickiness that golden syrup does. It's a smoother syrup, and it's it just tastes natural, whereas the other stuff doesn't really, you know.
There's a hint of an accent there. How long did you live in Canada? It was a while, obviously.
Oh, a long time. I immigrated in 74, Joe, and lived there for a long time. Had my family out there.
Yeah.
And came back some years ago now, but my sons are still living there.
Okay, and why did you come back, John? Why not?
I came back to take care of my mother, just be around my mother for a little while. Okay. And but I'm happy living back, but I do go back and forth quite a bit, yeah.
Okay, well, there's a lot of pollution or smoke in the air out there at the moment, isn't
there? They're suffering greatly at the moment. It's been so dry, and the fires aren't threatening cities, but the smoke is threatening the city,
Okay. Thanks indeed. That's Joan Lewis Wright. Maria King is in Rathfarnham and is in the Studio Cafe in Rathfarnham in Dublin. The golden syrup gate. What's the difference, Maria? Golden syrup and maple syrup.
Hiya, Joe. Well, I mean, just listening to your last caller there, you know, it actually, I suppose, gives it away. There is no comparison. As she said, like, you know, maple syrup is smooth. It's different. It's natural. Golden syrup comes in a tin. It's a fraction of the price. You know, you should be getting what it says, literally, you know, on the tin, as it says. I mean, the price would be built into your, like we would do, say, French toast. With bacon maple syrup. And maple syrup is a big part of it. You know, that is the dish. So you've just got to factor that into your price. Sorry, go ahead, Joe.
But do you think that people, that some restaurants would deliberately say, would say maple syrup, but would deliberately substitute golden syrup rather than saying golden syrup? Do you follow me on the menu?
Well, they actually do. Now, I don't know whether... I would imagine if a chef was putting out a dish, he would know the difference between a maple syrup. I suppose it's a communication issue. But it's like what somebody said earlier, if you order an Irish stew, you don't expect to get a burger. It's a slightly different thing. And I suppose it's something that in more recent years has been on menus.
But if you advertise pancakes or French toast or whatever with golden syrup...
Well, that's fine if you do that. But if you advertise it with maple syrup, then you should give maple syrup. And I think if you don't get it, then you should bring it to the attention of your server, because maybe the owner doesn't know that's happening.
Yeah,
you know, it's fairly straightforward. I would not want maple syrup on my pancakes or on my French toast, and I'd be happy to pay an extra 20 or 30 cents, but because that is
you wouldn't want golden syrup on your French toast.
I definitely would not want golden syrup.
Now say there, Maria, because Anne, who started this national scandal, who uncovered this national scandal, has now driven down there. She's really determined to get on. Fair play to she's on her own road run, and I'm told you've driven down a couple of miles to try and get a better signal, Anne.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, well, everyone is...
That is not the issue, but the good news is that I passed a van this morning that had NBI written on it, and it turned out that it's the National Broadband Ireland. So hooray, hooray, they're coming near us.
Okay,
but
thank
that's
God.
That's another day. I haven't been able to, I was listening to the programme off and on and hearing portions of what people had to say, and I concur with an awful lot of it. But just to say to you that from my perspective, mm-hmm. I think, I got a fine pot of tea, by the way, and from my perspective, I think 12.25 for two slices of brioche bread, dipped in beaten egg and fried in a little bit of oil and butter, and served with a few slices of streaky bacon. At 12.25, including your pot of tea, I think they ought to serve maple syrup. I appreciate you to look after the overhead.
But would you have bought it if it had said golden syrup?
No.
You see?
No way. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't have paid that price for the golden syrup.
But did you eat the French toast with the golden syrup that you were told?
My issue was I had gone for fasting blood. So this was 11:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And I was asked, why did I not send my food back? And that's the explanation I gave. I wanted to eat something to eat. And I just said, hell, put up with it. And I generally thought to myself, when I spoke with the person in charge, mm-hmm. she, in fairness, she went off and she checked and she came back and she was honest. She told me that it was golden syrup. Now, had she not said that, I would have said, I'd appreciate if you'd show me the container it came from. I was not letting this go.
Okay.
I was treated civilly and I was treated with respect. And the final thing was, we hope you'll come back again. I said, yes, I will. It wouldn't prevent me from coming back again.
Okay.
But it was just, I thought, when she said to me, you're the first person who's brought this to her attention. It's a big establishment. Looking around at the clientele, they were my age bracket, which is certainly the golden years, plus, plus, and plus again. And we would know, with our life experience, which is which. Maple syrup wasn't heard of in Ireland when I was growing up. It wasn't heard of when you were growing up.
Yeah.
But that's the point I'm making. I appreciate it is more expensive. But even to buy it in Aldi, it's less than a fiver a jar.
How many
will they get out of it?
Okay.
Paying for your overhead.
Okay. How far did you drive to get a better signal in the last 20 minutes? Anne?
Into the village.
Okay, fair play to you. I'm sorry. I have probably met
on the phone, I have probably met the entire Liveline crew.
Oh, great.
They've all been very polite and very nice.
Do you want to tell me what your local village is?
It's the infamous little village of Killiscully.
Of what?
Killiscully.
Oh, Killiscully.
No, 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 no. No, it's Kale O'Scully. Kale and O'Scully doesn't exist.
Oh, I know that, but it's very funny. It's bad short. Yeah, it's Kale O'Scully.
Kale O'Scully. And you see, I am a brace of Kale O'Scully in 2007 with my husband.
Okay.
I'm originally from Dublin. And absolutely, oh, it's gorgeous.
And is Kale O'Scully the village that has detached Paul Bryan's?
That's correct.
Very famous.
I'm looking at the side of it now.
Oh, you know, okay.
And there's a hub in the local hall.
Okay.
Put in one of these hubs, you know, where there's...
Kale O'Scully.
Very good. Yeah, there's very good broadband and that.
Oh,
and
well done, okay.
Fabulous community.
Okay.
Gorgeous people and the whole lot.
Okay,
okay. So, Limerick didn't win the battle.
Is there a coffee shop in Kale O'Scully?
No, unfortunately, there isn't. Well, lovely pub, though.
I don't know. Is Ryan's open? Is Ryan's open?
It opens, but it's not open at the moment.
Okay. Careful driving back home. I know you will. It sounds a glorious spot you're in. Kale O'Scully, that's Anne. Great to get you eventually, Anne.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for getting into your car and chasing the signal over all over West Limerick.
Well, that's going to come to an end soon. Okay.
With the broadband. Okay, Anne and Maria lovely King. Chatting. Thank you both. See, back after this. Joe at RT.ie. Thanks.
Talk to Joe on 0818-715-815. Talk to Joe on 0818-715-815.
Tracy, the golden syrup, maple syrup debate scandal, actually, it's a scandal, rages on. Well, you have an idea. I think it's a very good idea, actually.
Well, it's just to clarify, more of a clarification.
Okay.
So there's a well-known brand, I suppose everybody knows it, Tate & Lyle, who make golden syrup.
Of course, yeah.
And they have, in more recent times, golden syrup. So they've more in recent times made a maple-flavoured syrup. But to me, it is actually nicer than the consistency of it, and obviously because it's more sugar-based. I think it's much, much nicer than maple syrup. So I think that's where people are getting confused. It's maple flavoured. So to me, it's exactly the same. You know, you're still getting the taste of the maple, but it's not 100%. It's like honey and pure honey. It's different.
And where does it come in on the old price range? Price range.
Obviously, much cheaper, but the flavour to me, it's not any different. I actually prefer it. I would buy it in the shops quicker than I would buy maple syrup, because of the consistency of it and the.
Well, what about on the health? What about maple syrup? Is totally natural, as we heard. 13 gallons of sap is boiled down to give you 1 gallon of maple syrup.
I think in the world, a little bit of what you fancy isn't going to do you a bit of harm, you're not going to be having maple syrup. But I think if you're sitting there having your pancakes or your French toast with your crispy bacon, I think the quality of your maple syrup is sort of probably the least of it, you know. But I actually prefer it. I think it's really, really nice.
Tracy, have we lost the run of ourselves since we got the smell of ourselves? Like, Irish people, up to about a fortnight ago, would never have something sweet like honey, syrup, maple syrup, with rashers, with streaky rashers,
no,
crispy. Sure they wouldn't,
not.
But now, as we hear...
And raucous lettuce on well. I mean,
where did that come from?
Completely.
You're coming out years at this stage.
Lost the run of ourselves.
Yeah, you
smashed avocado.
If you were lucky enough to be asked into the house next door, which was very rare, and you were offered a sandwich, and you might get a sliced tomato, and maybe a bit of lettuce, and then a bit of, if they were extra wealthy and were in a Porteous house, you get salad cream as well. But now you go in and you get, they won't give you the bread. They'll give you sourdough or ciabatta or something.
Focaccio, exactly.
And then you get the rocket salad with some very, very exotic dressing. And then you get the smashed avocado. And I'd long for the sliced tomato. A bit of salt.
But there you go. I remember myself, you know, going down to one of our neighbours' house at home, and we called her Auntie Margaret, but she wasn't her auntie, and my mum's friend. And I remember going down there, and the treat was she had proper digestive biscuits. No chocolate on them, nothing.
Oh, the goal,
proper
yeah, okay.
digestive biscuits. And I can still taste them.
Yeah, but were they digestive? But Tracy, were they digestive or gold grain?
No, proper McVitie's digestive biscuits.
Well, you could never be a Jacob's gold grain biscuit. Gold grain biscuit back in the day.
Them.
Oh, you do. And then the Marietta.
Don't remember them.
Then the Marietta.
Oh, I like Marietta.
You get the two, you put the two Marietta together, slather it in butter, and then the butter comes
absolutely.
Through the little holes
yeah.
like worms
holes,
going up out of
yeah.
the ground. Gorgeous, gorgeous. Tracy, wait for this bit of information. One of our American listeners, he's having his breakfast at the moment, and he has a litre of pure maple syrup on his table, and that costs $13, which is not too far off 13 euro at this stage. That costs 13 euro. You know how much a litre of maple syrup is here if you were to buy it? It would be 45 quid. 45 quid because you get one third of a litre for 15 quid. Brian Bulger, Brian, quickly upset us all again. Where are you now?
I'm in Lurka, Joe.
Ah, rub it in.
And very, very quickly there, we arrived last night about 7 o'clock and went for something to eat.
Yeah.
We had, my wife had fish and chips and I had spaghetti seafood. With,
lovely,
I mean, lots
yeah.
of seafood, not a bit of shellfish here and a prawn there, plenty of it.
Vongole, spaghetti
vongole. Two bottles of water.
Yeah.
21 euros the lot.
Wow. Do you have any alcohol?
Nope.
Okay. So fish and chips. Fair enough. Fish and chips, seafood spaghetti, two bottles of water, not the house water or the tap water. Two bottles
no,
of water.
No, not your cheap water. This was sparkling water, Joe.
Yeah, sparkling. Oh,
the very best.
So that came to 21 euro. How much would you pay for fish and chips, you know, here, and you get a bit of mushy peas or whatever, plus a seafood spaghetti now is expensive, given the ingredients. How much would you pay for that here in Dublin, Brian?
Oh, God, I don't know where I live, I suppose.
Well, for fish and chips in a restaurant or hotel, and they throw in the little ramekin of mushy peas.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That would, you'd be close enough to 21 euro just for that before you went anywhere.
I guess so.
Now, the
like
other
18
thing,
euro first.
You paid 18 euro. Tracy, okay.
It would be around 18.
Yeah, round in, you're right,
that.
Yeah. But one of the reasons for that is that the minimum wage in Spain per hour is €8.45. The minimum wage in Ireland is €11.30. And I don't think anyone, in fairness, in Ireland is calling for the minimum wage. Now, that's one third of a difference, but that doesn't account for the full price difference, does it, Brian? It doesn't, sure it doesn't.
No, not at all. No, it doesn't. And I mean, like, I was in Portugal there a couple of months ago and I don't know, the prices were very, very reasonable altogether. And I know cost of living is a lot cheaper here and wages are lower and all the rest of it. But we'll never, ever attract these people to Ireland for holidays. We might as well close down those markets. You know, when they come and they see the price of a pint and the price of food in Ireland, they just couldn't afford it. I was talking to the taxi man briefly on the way down and he told me he has a beautiful three-bedroom apartment, himself and his wife and his daughter, overlooking the sea, about 200 metres back from the sea, but overlooking it, and it's €800 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, the minimum wage in Portugal is? It's just over a fiver.
Yeah, well, okay, I suppose, but it still doesn't account for that, Joe. You know, I mean, you're talking about half the price.
Right. Okay, okay, I take your point. What's the weather like, Brian?
Well, there's a drop of rain there, just to stop now, but the forecast is good for the next while, thank God.
The weather is kind of, well, at least where I'm sitting in the Elysian splendours and the sunny uplands of Montrose, the weather has broken here. It's become very, very overcast. But anyway, long you out there for, Brian.
But and anyway, I'm going for 10 days.
Good lad.
You need a drop of rain back there, Joe.
You do. You miss a drop of rain. Okay, Brian Budger, Gura Mila Margot. Now, where's Patricia Brewster on Golden Syrup Gate? Patricia.
I'm beginning to think we've flogged a dead horse here, right?
Okay, let's start flogging it.
Well, yeah, there's the difference between maple syrup and golden syrup. I mean, they're two totally different products, as people have said. Can't even compare them.
Yeah.
But I will say, having lived in the States and brought up my kids there and done lots and lots of cooking there, without golden syrup, you're at a loss for making most of our great biscuits that we make here in Ireland, including things like flapjacks, because it's just such a terrific product. And maple syrup doesn't compare if you're doing that kind of thing. But if you're going to eat pancakes or French toast and it says maple syrup, it should be maple syrup. And I would definitely disagree with the lady who said that you could have that maple-flavored golden syrup. You can. But if it says maple syrup, it should be maple syrup. And it is a very expensive product. But I have to say, interestingly, I was in a supermarket in Rathmines the other day, and I saw small bottles of maple syrup, but easily enough that it would have done for a family to have on pancakes or French toast. And it was only €4.50 or something like that. So you can get it, but like everything else, it's you can get cheaper versions of it, and really good maple syrup is really expensive.
And you know the amount in that bottle you were saying for €4, like is did Paul come through? Is Paul on the WhatsApp? Paul, good afternoon. Paul.
Mr. Joe, how's it going?
Oh, you're on WhatsApp from Colorado.
Good morning to you.
What time is it over there? Breakfast time.
It is, yes. 7:40 a.m.
And have you a liter of maple syrup in your hand?
I do indeed, yes.
How much?
And that won't last long with my kids.
Wow, how much?
Yeah, you're right, actually. I heard you. You're right. It's about the same, €13.
Wow. And to buy a liter of maple syrup on the other side of the Atlantic to where you are would cost you €45 in Ireland. That's a big difference.
That is great. Give me a great idea for new import business.
And Paul, is there such a product in the States as golden syrup? Do you know?
There isn't, but I have bought the golden syrup that we all know back in Ireland. You know, that green can.
Yeah,
I bought that at World Shopping Store here. That's the only one I've ever found.
And
I gave it my kids once. They don't like that.
And what do your kids use maple syrup on?
This morning it'll be waffles, generally pancakes and French toast.
Okay. Now, do you get warnings over there, Paul? Please do not let your children consume too much maple syrup.
That's the first of I've heard of that.
Okay.
I'm sure my wife has, but not me.
Okay. And what to say there, Paul, Patricia. You say there's loads of uses for golden syrup here in Ireland, such as what, apart from...
But especially in baking, especially in biscuit making. It's used in all kinds of biscuit making. There was a biscuit that my mother always made called honey biscuits. Actually, they didn't have any honey in them. They had golden syrup. And it's a kind of a crisp biscuit with oatmeal and flour and really, really good. And then flapjacks, we always put, there's a tablespoon of golden syrup and flapjacks, a lot of those kind of things. But my kids were growing up in the States, we would buy, a gallon of really good maple syrup from a wholesaler natural food store. This was, you know, I'm talking now about 40 years ago. And we only had pancakes or, like Paul was saying, pancakes or waffles. We only had them special on Sunday morning breakfast. And it was very definitely, you didn't flood your plate with maple syrup. You had just a small amount on the pancakes because it was so precious, but so good. And it was very expensive even then. So you expect that. And I would say here, we've kind of got this crazy thing. If you're going to eat a breakfast here, which, you know, if I go into a place and it says it's an Irish breakfast, frankly, I don't expect to see pancakes and maple syrup on it.
Because, like you said, we don't
eat sweet stuff with our sausages and rashers here.
But it's changing, you see. It is changing. The porridge has gone out the window. You know, now people are going for pancakes, French toast and syrup. And sausage with syrup. And streaky bacon, crispy bacon with syrup.
Expect to pay for it too. I mean, I'm just listening to people now. Very often do get what you pay for, and it does cost a fair amount to bring in food, produce it, pay staff, etc., like you said. Yeah.
Okay, Patricia, thanks indeed. And you're in Colorado, Paul, beautiful western US state, incredible scenery. What's the weather like there?
It is gorgeous today. It's probably in the going to be in the 20s.
Okay.
Beautiful blue skies as always.
And are you in? Are you in Colorado or Denver? Are you in the big city or?
I'm in Boulder, just outside Boulder City, which is just only 30-mile drive. From
and
Denver,
why do I know
which
Boulder?
Where I was last night, actually. Yes.
Is Boulder Bill Clinton? Who's Boulder?
Is Boulder
different Boulder? Which one?
That
is,
I don't know.
Okay, well, I thought it was one of the American press associated with Boulder, but there's probably a lot more bigger and bolder boulders in the States than the boulder in Colorado. What brought you out there, Paul?
Back in the day, as you remember, like when there were, I won one of those green cards.
Ah.
And it was a take it or leave it. And, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it policy. So I used it. And.
And did you head out on your own?
I did, yeah.
Wow.
Just like many Irish people, yeah.
And what age were you when you headed out on your own?
20s, mid-20s.
And what did you leave behind?
What did I leave behind? My parents, family, you know, a job in Santry there.
And you took, and how long did it take? How long did it take you to settle?
I would say about maybe a few months. Yeah, you know, I headed out to San Jose, California. I had this idea in my head that, you know, if it all went wrong, it's beautiful in California. We've all seen those movies and shows that if it all went wrong, I could just fall asleep and on the beach, you know, and I'd be fine.
And but you mentioned children. I mean, do you mind me asking how many children do you have?
I got two kids, two great kids.
Okay. Okay. What age are they now?
My daughter is 20 and my son is 15.
Okay. You have your hands full. So you're well settled. You're well settled.
Yes, they're fantastic. They're doing great. My daughter's joined the Coast Guard. So very proud, you know, Coast Guard in the United States. She's an Irish person.
But she's like she's living in the Mullingar of the United States. She's living in the middle of the country, isn't she?
Yes. Yeah, but she's out in the East Coast, Connecticut.
Okay, yeah. That's fascinating in itself. And you get back to Ireland much?
I do. I actually got back twice last year. My young kid wanted to come back to Ireland to actually, you know, see his roots and just check out Ireland. You know, so we had lots of fun.
Check out Santry.
Not check out Santry. Yes, I'm from Athlone originally. So went down, went up the Shannon. You know, he never heard of or seen one of those locks, so which is really cool you know, for kids to watch, as you would know.
Okay, Paul. I won't go off track. But is America as riven politically as we are told it is here?
Yeah, it's worse.
Is it?
We're worse. Yeah,
serious?
It's nonstop. You know, not yeah. It's just. It's impossible to get away from it.
You're either
on the TV. You just have to shut it all out.
Yeah, and you're either one or the other.
Yeah, basically, you're probably one or the other. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Or you just hate both sides.
Yeah, yeah. what was the phrase that was used by Jonathan Powell when he was up in Northern Ireland? Now, this is going back to the 70s and the 80s. A small place, great hatred. Now, America's a big place, but it seems to be great hatred there, unfortunately. Paul, stay safe, stay well, enjoy your breakfast. What's ahead of you now today?
Mowing the lawn, do a bit of work, bring the kids to swimming, get to swimming and, you know, serve them plenty of maple syrup in about a half an hour on his waffles with some kiwi.
Good man. Well, you know, we have no Mo May here. Did you know that? Have you heard that phrase, Paul? No Mo May.
No. There's
a campaign here that you don't mow your, if you're lucky enough to have one, your garden or your lawn. If you don't mow your garden or your lawn during May in terms of wilding, bees, wildflowers, let them go, let it grow, let it go. But anyway, okay, Paul, do you want to say hello to Ireland back? Do you want to say hello to anyone back in Ireland, even though we now live in a world where you can say hello to them 15 times a day? But where
you were so kind, yes. I love my my cousin Kathy there, my sister, you know, Valerie's working in Ball's Bridge, and my brother Vinny and his family. Love you guys and take care.
Okay. Have a good day. And your daughter, thank her for her service in the Coast Guard. Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic work. Awesome. Thanks. Awesome. So proud.
Enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
You make it very interesting every morning on the radio.
Okay. Cheerio. Good morning, joe@rg.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Is Paul back there at this stage? Paul was saying a piece of cake went from 250 to a fiver. Is Paul there? Or is Sarah there? Sarah? No, okay. Betty Mitchell. Betty.
Hello, Joe.
How are you? Tell us your experience. You're normally very good on the facts and figures. Go ahead. What the price?
Well, I was in Ireland in May. I came back on the 15th of May. And while I was going over, I was just looking. I'm not a drinker.
Oh, I know that, Betty. God forbid. God forbid.
Well, Joe, I get drunk on the atmosphere.
Okay, well done.
All that I ever had was a glass of orange at a dance in Dublin.
Club
and
orange.
Had it too busy enjoying ourselves.
Okay, well, will you tell me the prices, Betty? I don't want your life story on this occasion.
Okay. So, on this occasion, I was just walking around the duty free, just had killing time. And a bottle of Bailey's on the duty free was €13.
Okay.
I went into the in Ireland, popping in and out of the different supermarkets and that, and lo and behold, €38 for the same litre of Bailey's original Irish cream.
That sounds
and
dear,
I bought a bottle, Joe. Haven't drunk it yet.
It's duty free ferries now between Ireland and the non EU country that is. The UK, because of Brexit.
Yeah, but I mean, Joe, that's a heck of a difference. €13 to 38.
I thought Bailey's was cheaper than that in Ireland. But okay, 4 litres of vodka.
And 4 litres of vodka or gin for €44. Now, you're paying nearly that for one bottle.
A litre of vodka on the ferry.
On the ferry.
From Ireland to Britain and vice versa. A litre of vodka now on the duty-free ferries is €11.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, honestly.
And are there now people going on day trips from Dublin to
Holyhead? Well, I said to my daughter, I think I'll come over in a couple of weeks' time, load up my car and go around selling Baileys and vodka and gin in Ireland.
4 litres of vodka on the ferry.
For 44.
11, not for
44
a 7.
€44, yeah, I thought sterling, but no, it was euros.
Okay, and a 70cl bottle of vodka here would set you back. I don't drink vodka, but it must cost you around €20. So you're saying you can get a litre of vodka for less than half that you get your normal bottle of vodka?
Yeah, exactly.
On the duty free.
Well, if you wanted to buy 4. And the gin, particularly the gin.
Okay, well, the gin has been a big
gin is
thread.
Well, as you know,
a big
it's stream, the thing now.
Big, so gin is in. But the big stream of gin flowing through this programme today, thankfully, is on the air. But did you notice that the duty-free was very busy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, well, it was wouldn't busy.
Why
wouldn't it be? Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was sorry I didn't bring a bottle into Ireland with me.
Well, I'm sorry.
So I brought it back with me.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, Betty, you didn't bring a four-wheel front push shopping trolley.
Well, aren't I, Joe? I think I will try it
next time,
do.
Okay.
I can play in one of the lay-bys, Joe.
Okay, are you following the Harry, the libel trial?
No, I'm not.
No.
I listen to the news, but I'm not following it.
A lot of sympathy for him,
I think,
I
feel sorry for the lad, but I think he's undone his own... Goodness.
Ah, he seems to be coming across very, very mature. And as he said,
I'm taking
on some of these papers because I can. Others can't. Okay, Betty, Gurry Milamaga, Joe at RT.ie. Happy summer. 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Gail Hanbridge. Gail, brace. Brace yourself, listeners, for these prices. Okay. The price of... What did you pay £64 for?
I paid €64 for four fish and chips and 6 chicken nuggets in a takeaway down the country. at the weekend. The food was really, really good. I must say it was excellent. But when I opened up the, you know, it wasn't on a plate they were eating. It was just in, you know, paper.
Yeah, okay.
And when I opened up, got me wedge of lemon, looked around for the tartar sauce, none. So I went back in and I said, the tartar sauce wasn't with my fish and chips. Okay. They said, you have to pay extra for tartar sauce and tomato ketchup.
Good gosh.
Yeah, so I was a bit dismayed and I was actually quite annoyed because the place was really busy. They were really more tuned in with getting the orders in. And yeah. I had to clean my own tables to sit down.
60. Now, are you sure the chicken nuggets weren't chicken goujons, which are basically chicken nuggets who went to Trinity?
There were just six of whatever it was, but it was €64 for four fish and chips and six goujons nuggets or whatever.
Nuggets.
The food was really, really good, but I thought it was a bit kicking the teeth to say, we will give you a tomato ketchup if you pay €1.50.
Was the ketchup extra?
Yes, €1.50 for a little thing of ketchup.
And the tartar sauce, that was extra.
As well. Now, that was the small container. I think it was more for a slightly larger one. But I said, I'm not going to pay for that. After I cleaned the tables and everything, I'll just live without it.
Okay, God.
So, you know, Rip Off Ireland is alive and well. I must say the food was excellent.
Yeah, okay, well, that's,
but it was a bit,
helps.
A bit insulting now to expect you to pay extra. I was thinking the next time we go, maybe they'll charge the lemons.
Sounds like it. Sounds like it. Okay, salt and vinegar.
Well, that's
salt
my story,
and vinegar.
Joe.
Oh, by the way,
before
you go, given where we started, have you got children in primary school?
I do.
And will you be buying a present for a teacher?
Now, not every year. Sometimes I make a donation to a local charity, you know, like the Christmas lights or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
But this year, there is a local plant sale for a local charity, and I'm going to buy a plant for the teacher. So they'll be getting something for the donation I'm making, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then
the secondary school child, I usually give a present at Christmas to the bus driver.
Brilliant.
The bus driver. And the front of house secretary in the school usually give them box of crisps or something, you know what I mean? Because they get you out of, like, hovels from time to time.
Ah, the school caretaker and the school secretary.
The bus driver.
I was just going to do a thought for the day in my pontifical mode. I mean, the school secretary and the school caretaker, the schools couldn't survive without them. Sure they couldn't?
No.
They're brilliant.
And you know what?
I know the bus driver isn't applicable to most schools, but a school secretary, school caretaker, what would we do without them?
Well, the front of house secretary is, I think they're kind of, people don't realise how much work to do.
Oh,
so the mothers ring up, the child has forgot their
everything,
lunch.
Everything.
They forgot their PE gear. They're sick, whatever. And yeah. I think they deserve a little gift.
Okay, well said, Gail. That's Gail Hambridge.
No bother.
Thanks indeed. Liam Mullen is on sound today. The BCO is Shane Gavin. The producer is Siobhan Hogan. And Catherine Thomas is next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.